you've all heard of the great Christmas carol, Away in a Manger. Well, the series, the Advent series that we're going to be going on is titled a little bit differently. It's called Away in a Manger. And of course, who is the way, the truth, and the life that's laying in the manger? It is our Christ child, our Christ child. And although today doesn't reflect, in the next three, it will be way, truth, and life. So it'll fit more appropriately. Okay. Exactly 1 minute has passed. And my watch, of course, it's a digital one, tracks time by every second. The little second number goes up one, right? And when it hits then 60, or what would be 60, the double zero, then the minute number goes up one. And on your watches that I saw many of you looking at, because I was looking at mine, you might have the hand that clicks off the minutes, right, or the seconds to the minutes if you have an analog watch. But it marked the passing of a minute, and it's absolutely amazing how long a minute is when there's nothing happening, right? But what about when you're doing something you fully enjoy? Isn't it amazing how short that minute does become? Or say the group of minutes. Counting today, there are only 27 days until Christmas. That means that there are approximately 648 hours until Christmas. With one day consisting of 1,440 minutes, that means we have approximately 38,880 of those little intervals that we just took before we celebrate Christmas. And there are a lot of things to get done, right, before Christmas arrives. I mean, there still are presents to buy. There's still all presents to wrap. There still are parties to plan and attend, people to visit, and we only have 38,879 minutes now. And you ask, then why are we just sitting here doing nothing? Literally wasting what? Time. As we begin our Advent celebration, I want us to recognize not only the significance of time, but also the strategic nature of how God, who is in control of time, uses it. I want to begin our time today remembering that time has a beginning. So begin our time remembering time does have a beginning. So let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John, the beginning of the Gospel of John. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Now, before we actually get into what it says about time, what do you notice about that little short three-verse passage of Scripture? There is kind of a chiastic structure, isn't there? It is a chiasm. You can figure that out when you get home later today. But as we read from what John has to say about time, time does have a beginning, right? It does have a beginning. Who is it that we see at the beginning of time? We see God. And because God is the creator of time, he also is in control of time, right? He has control of it as the creator of time. He has control of all of us as our creator, of everything. He has control. It's one of the reasons why he has control. He is the creator. And because he is in control of time, he has the power to strategically use time like no one else does. We refer to God's strategic use of time as divine timing. And we separate that from our timing, which is less than divine. Some of us have better timing than others, right, as we practice it. But is it as perfect as God's timing? No. The candle we lit this morning was actually the candle of prophecy. It also is the candle of hope. And we can see that prophecy did give hope to the people of Israel, right? As the prophets would prophesy, they took hope that this indeed would happen. And as we actually view prophecy and that understanding of hope, what we can see is the difference between God and his perfect timing and ours imperfect timing. Because no matter how much we hope something is going to happen that we do, there is a big chance it won't happen, right? What about God? If God prophesies something is going to happen, is there a chance that it won't happen? No. And that's why hope in the Bible is so different than our human hope. That's why when we say he is our hope, when we trust in what he says, we know it's going to happen. So hope actually has a form of permanence and knowledge to it. Whereas we, who are less than perfect, when we try to do something and hope that it happens, our timing may be way off, right? Especially if it isn't in tune with God's timing. And that's the key. That's the key. And so what we hope for may not happen unless we have our wills lined up with his, our hopes lined up with his. So that's why we say, yes, he is in control. We are not in control. And he proves it every day in his timing, the timing that we see around us. I want you to turn, if you would, to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Where we find probably the best understanding of God's timing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its, what? In its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. What God has done throughout time. Why? Because he is God. His ways are so much higher than our ways. And he is in control of time. We are not. Considering how important timing is to everything. I mean, consider how important timing is to everything that exists. Do we plant tomatoes in November? No. Why? Poor timing, right? Do we go swimming in the pond during February? No. Why? Because you can't. It's iced over in much of the country, right? It's not the right time. There's a right time. There's a proper timing for such activities. I think we'd all agree that November and December is not the best time to start a diet. Now, is it? Especially this week, we'd agree that. Now, think about the importance of timing, especially on a Sunday, say in sports or with the season, the football season we are celebrating as our high school has had. If the quarterback's timing is off, then he won't connect in a pass with the receiver, right? There even are timing patterns, which means that the quarterback will throw the ball before the receiver even makes a cut. But because they've practiced this time and time and time again to get their timing down, he can throw that ball knowing that the guy's going to make the cut and be where the ball is at the time that it arrives. It's fascinating. Now, if the defender also knows that, now we got a problem, right? What about a basketball player? You do an alley-oop so the guy can jam the ball down, and that's got to be perfect timing, does it not? Ball has to be right there. Or just a simple pass, a bounce pass, whatever. In shorter distances, too, and yet still a fast tempo, fast pace. So timing, yes, when it comes to sports, is everything. Think about the importance of timing in our daily lives. How many of us have literally missed the boat by a couple of seconds? You see them untying the lines, right? As you're going toward the ramp, going, no! And you realize your timing is already off. When that line comes undone, you're done. Next boat. Or missed a flight, right? Which could be even perhaps worse. For our plans or what have you. We truly then, at those times, know the importance of timing. If we're delayed at work because of a delay that we missed, and because of that delay, we miss a major accident on the freeway. Well, we consider that real good timing, right? But not on our behalf. We had nothing to do with it, now did we? We had nothing to do with it. Parents and grandparents of toddlers know that if they turn their heads for just 1 second, that young child will be gone and probably into trouble. Timing is everything. Does 1 minute make a difference? We can ask some of the survivors of the Twin Tower incidents, right? On who got out perhaps just minutes before the towers collapsed. Yes, timing is everything. It is everything. It makes all the difference in the world. So it's easy to get wrapped up, no pun intended, in the activities of the season of Christmas. Because it's a time of where time is rushed, right? Where time is kind of displaced. And what happens if we have our timing off? Well, then we miss the miracles of Christmas. We're not able to see them. We're not saying they don't happen. They still happen. We just don't see them, right? Why? Not because God's timing is off. It's because our timing is off. And so, yes, we have to be very conscientious in our time, where we are focused, who we are focused on, what is going to be our focus at the Christmas time, right? This Christmas season, let's spend some of our time reflecting on God's timing, His perfect timing in Christ's birth. Galatians chapter 4, incredible passage. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where Paul says, "But when the time had fully come," teleostoi, when the time had become complete, when the time had become perfect, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive full rights of sons. Wow. God's ultimate timing. It says there, when the time had fully come, at just the right, perfect time, God sent His Son. That represents our God's good, complete, and perfect timing. Let's look at three finer points of God's timing that we can see from this particular verse. Number one, God comes, arrives, meets us just at the right time. Who is it that interferes with that most often? It's like hearing God. God is constantly propagating who He is. He's constantly telling, declaring who He is many different ways. If we're not picking it up, it's not because He's not declaring it. It's we're not tuned in to His declarations. The same thing is true. If we miss the timing, it's not because God's timing isn't perfect. It's because He allows us to have our own sense of time. And that's not perfect. That has been affected by sin. And our time works often against God's time because we're not clued into Him. That relationship isn't what it needs to be for us to know God's timing and apply it to our lives instead of us struggling through with our own time. But the Bible says when the time had fully come, God sent His Son. But the truth is most people at that time and perhaps since have missed that miracle of God's timing. Most people didn't recognize the significance of Christ's birth at that time, did they? Matter of fact, what was happening in Bethlehem? That kind of confused the whole aspect of time. They were having a census, right? It was a huge crowd. It was a very busy, busy time, much like Christmas is every year. And most people didn't recognize. People were much too busy to pay attention to the young girl giving birth to her first child out in a stable there in Bethlehem. At just the right time in history, Jesus came. At just the right time in history, Jesus was born. The coming of Christ into the world was not a matter of chance. It was not a matter of coincidence, because there is no chance and coincidence in God's timing. His coming was part of God's divine plan. When was that plan established? Before the creation of the world, right? Before the creation of the world. And that's the same plan that we are part of and part of the timing of. Warren Wiersbe, in his book Be Free, writes, "Historians tell us that the Roman world was in great expectation, waiting for a deliverer at the time that Jesus was born. The old religions were dying. The old philosophies were empty and powerless to change men's lives. Strange new mystery religions were invading the empire. Religious bankruptcy and spiritual hunger were everywhere. God was preparing the world for the arrival of his Son." From an historical perspective, the Roman Empire helped prepare the world for not just the birth of Jesus, but of course, the birth of Christianity, right? The passing of the message of Jesus. The Romans had constructed roads to connect city to city, making traveling easier. All roads ultimately led where? All roads ultimately led to Rome. The world was at peace under Roman rule. Per se, unless you happen to be one that the Romans were ruling. Roman law protected the citizens, and the Roman soldiers guarded that peace. So thanks to both the Greek and the Roman conquest, Latin and Greek were known across the empire, making communication much more possible with many from all over the world, right? The Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming Messiah had been fulfilled by this time. They were completed. At just the right time, God sent his Son. So God comes at the right time. Number two, God provides at the right time. And why? Because he is the one who's in control. Many people will be content just to go through the motions, enduring the busy activity of this particular season without really experiencing, again, the true miracle of Christmas, the true miracle of his timing at this time. Some need nothing short of a miracle. Some need the good news that God comes to us just the right time with just what we need for that particular moment. And the more that you draw that relationship or deepen that relationship with him, the more you realize that every moment in the day spent with him is under such timing and is part of such timing. Listen to these promises from God's word to see his character reflected in these actions that he does, the actions of provision that he does in his timing. Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing." Psalm 104, verses 27 and 30. "These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. But when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die, return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth." All God's people sin. His timing is involved in every good thing, right? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. "Then I will send rain on your lands in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the field for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied." So God knows exactly
what we're going through when we are going through it. He knows exactly what we need at any given time. And just the right time, he'll come to each of us and provide just what we need at just that time, because his timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect to meet our physical needs and to meet our spiritual needs at just the right time. He will come and he will provide. God not only comes just at the right time, he continues to come to us at the right time, or not only came with Christ. Because we have his Holy Spirit indwelling within, he is constantly there, time-wise, right? Just take time to imagine how important that is. We have his Holy Spirit indwelling us, which means we have perfect timing if we allow it to take place. If we allow it to take place. Just when we need him most, he is not just there, he is here. And that's important. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." When do we need a miracle? When we have no more options. When do we need a miracle? When we need more resources, because we've run out of our own. When we have no more options and no more resources, when we are, as Paul tells us, powerless, completely helpless, then we are in the position to receive the most important provision and the most important miracle from God. God has promised to come at just the right time and to provide just what we need at that specific time. When we are utterly helpless, when we are utterly powerless, and when we realize that, then Christ still comes to us today, does he not? Open arms, taking us as we are. So yes, he comes at the right time, he provides at the right time. And lastly, we're going to look at the finer point that he says, now is the right time. Now is the right time. It seems we're always waiting for just the right time to do something. We're always trying to make our timing perfect. We're waiting for just the right time to make the commitment to our life to Christ as Savior and Lord. Oh, I'll just wait a little longer until I'm even more of a sinner, I guess. Maybe we're waiting for just the right time to make the commitment to church membership. We've already made a commitment to Christ. Maybe we're waiting for just the right time to commit to a closer walk with Christ. Oh, I've met him now, so I'm saved. But are you living out that salvation with his timing, or are you still fighting it? Yes, he's your Savior, but is he your Lord as well? Maybe we're waiting for just the right time to give up a bad habit instead of allowing Christ to help, right? The Holy Spirit to help. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, Paul again, "In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the right time to make that commitment to Christ." Jesus says in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, "The time has come," Jesus said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Now is the right time to make that commitment to Christ and receive God's gift of salvation. I don't say that just because it's a season of Advent. Any time is now. Any time is the moment when it comes to receiving God's gift of salvation. Now is the time to join the church of Jesus Christ. Now is the time to recommit to our marriages. Now is the time to recommit to our families. Now is the time to renew our commitment to walk in closer fellowship every day with Christ. Now is the time to draw close to God. And now is constantly. Timing is so important. Just one moment, the moment of now, can determine an eternal destiny. Not just your earthly direction, but an eternal destiny. And right now is just such a moment. We don't have to live our lives separated from God's love, from God's blessing. Today is the right time to receive God's gracious gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. If you've never made a commitment of your life to the teaching of Christ, if you've never made a commitment of your life to Jesus, receiving Him as your Lord and Savior, then we all invite you to make that commitment today. Make it today. Make it now. Because now is the time. Now is the moment. And now can change your earthly direction as well as your eternal destiny. So choose Jesus. And you're choosing an abundant life on earth and an eternal life with Christ in heaven. It's just what we all need for just this exact time. Will you recognize God's timing for the miracle that it truly is? Will you see your need for Christ and how silly it is to keep putting Him off? Be careful not to put off making that commitment, because now is just the right time. So if you want to make that commitment of your life to Christ as your Lord and Savior, then as I pray, do repeat this prayer in your heart with all sincerity to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I don't want to live one more moment without You. Now is the time. Now is the place. Now I ask for Your forgiveness for my sins, for not recognizing Your great love for me. I believe Jesus is Your Son. I believe He left heaven and came to earth to die on the cross for my sin. I believe He rose from the dead and is alive today, and that He comes at just the right time. He comes now, just for me. And so today I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Please, Heavenly Father, forgive my sin, cleanse me, and fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I choose now, in this moment, to receive the greatest gift ever given, the gift of salvation through Your Son, Jesus. And it's in His name I pray. All God's people said, Amen.